That's right. Here we are. Wednesday afternoon. Hump day. Ready for some more interviews this afternoon, getting you ready for the Blues Cruise and Festival of Discovery. Well, I tell you what, you are in for quite a list of great artists this afternoon. First up this afternoon, we have Brett Barnard of Hitmen. Then we go to Tom Gray of Delta Moon, Susie Vinnick from up there out of Canada, then Kyle Yardley, and he's going to be on, and then Peter Karp. So we have quite a great list this afternoon, but we're going to be starting with Brett Barnard in just a second. He is down there from Savannah, and he's called the Hitman. Well, we'll have to ask him why he's called the Hitman, but we will ask him that in just 1 second and see what we can find out about him. So, let's see if I can open up my screen here and see if he is here with us here today. And Brett is with us this afternoon. How you doing there, Brett?
How you doing, darling? How you doing, sweetie pie?
Oh, you're a charmer too, huh?
Well, you know, I didn't get the name Hitman for nothing.
Well, I've read some of your background information, and but I didn't read about that one.
Well, you know, some things are some classified information, you know. Yeah, but I'd have to kill you if I told you.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, you are from down there. You grew up in Richmond Hill, right outside of Savannah, right?
Right, this is true. Yeah, right outside, about 30 minutes south of Savannah is my hometown.
Yeah, and I was very interested to see you'd been in the military before you started. You actually came late to the game, didn't you, on playing music?
Yes, I did. I was 24 years old when I started playing. And, you know, it was out of boredom, actually.
Well,
it was really out of boredom, you know. And my grandparents always listened to good music. And you know, but they're more of the gospel type. And blues and gospel have a lot of the same progressions. And so I got interested in playing an instrument, and at first it was going to be the saxophone, and I was like, and then I thought keyboards, and I was like, I have to haul that around, and then the guitar sort of won out, and I'm glad it did.
Well, I want to go back to, so you were in the military, were you in the Navy, is that right?
Yes, I was an avionics tech in the Navy. I worked on jet fighters and doing radar systems, tactical systems, and that type thing. And I still do low voltage work today. So I learned a lot, but you know, I try not to work as much as I did back in those days.
And weren't you also a teacher?
Now that is a little known fact.
Yes,
I taught.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
That's a little known fact. You know, I taught a gym at Richmond Hill Middle School, and I was the JV girls basketball coach, which is funny that I coach basketball because I'm only like 5'4".
Well, you could teach a lot of angles that way, couldn't you, Brett?
Well, I did the best I could in some situations, for sure.
Well, that's pretty cool. But I don't understand. You said you did it out of boredom. I mean, you were in the military, then you were professor teaching basketball, so you had this extra time, I guess, and you just said, let me do something else. I just, that's pretty amazing. So many people that I talk to, you know, 5, 6, 4, you know, they start so early. That
right.
Just fascinates me.
Well, I'm one of the types that I have to do something all the time. Even, I fidget in my sleep. Yeah, I have to be doing something all the time, you know, and so playing the guitar, it's you know, I'm glad I did, like I said, because it almost felt natural, you know, when I picked it up, and it's such a joy, you know, to watch people, you know, enjoy your music, and I think this will be my second or third time coming to Greenwood. and I always enjoy it. It's going to be a wonderful time, I think.
Well, it is a great, great venue, and I think it's pretty cool what you do. Now, I understand that you do a lot of cover music. That's what you, isn't that really how you got the name Hitman? You play the hits?
Well, that's part of it.
Okay. What's the rest of the story then?
But, yeah, that's part of it, but. We do a mix of covers and originals. I'm writing an album right now, and it's putting together. But I'm so busy, it's taking a little longer than I anticipated. But I'll be up with a lot of my fellow Savannah musicians up there, and I'll be bringing along with me bass player Anthony Teixeira and Mark Cordray on drums, and a wonderful harmonica player named Ace Anderson, the jewel you guys will absolutely love. He's from Sweden, and the more he drinks, the more Viking he becomes.
Well, that should be an interesting show then.
Oh, it's a motley crew for sure.
Does he get the helmet on with the two horns coming out on the side there?
Well, I wouldn't put anything past him. I'll leave it at that.
Well, that's cool. Now, what do you find the best part of being a musician, playing like you do and everything? What do you find the best part of it?
I think that it's just the enjoyment. It's just watching people enjoy your music, and the compliments you get. And, and just knowing that at the end of the night, you might have made somebody a happier person. Somebody could have came in wherever you're playing, grumpy as all get out. And then, they leave with a smile on their face. And that, I think, is the most important part.
Well, that is. And how would you describe your music?
Well, we're definitely high energy, for sure. And it's funny, because as old as we are, we still jump around and interact with the crowd, and do all kinds of fancy tricks. And, definitely high energy, for sure.
Well, that's... I was watching some of the videos. I was hoping to have some music to play for you, but I guess people are just going to have to go see you and see what you're all about, because it looks to me like it kind of changes all the time.
It does. It really does. We don't sit in the same place for too long, for sure.
Okay. Now, it looks to me like you're just playing one night. Is that right? Saturday night?
That'll be Saturday night, yes.
Well, you have a great venue over there at the Inn on the Square, and that'll be a beautiful venue. That's going to be from 8 to 11 on Saturday night. And I understand also that you play are basically in the Savannah area. Is that right?
Yeah, we play. A lot of us have day jobs, and we can't really just get out, like we used to. And back in my earlier days of playing, I did a lot of traveling. I was with Eric Culberson's blues band, and I played rhythm guitar for him, and we traveled from, pretty much up and down the East Coast. I think it wears on you after a while, and at my age, I kind of like the comfort of home.
How old are you, Bernard? I mean, you can't be that old. How old are you?
I'm currently 44.
Okay, that's still pretty young. You got a lot of years to play music.
For sure. Well, let's hope, anyway. At my current rate, it's a coin toss someday.
Yeah, I understand. Why do you like the blues?
Well, the blues has, in all of its simplicity, the blues is emotionally complex. Yeah, I guess it's musically simple, but it's emotionally complex. And it's the one music that doesn't make you, that doesn't make you feel just one particular way, like grunge or like hard rock or something like that. You always get you pumped. The blues can make you feel good. It can make you feel sad. It can make you have regrets. It can make you, the spectrum is endless with it. And so, and because of that, you can do so much with it and affect so many people with it.
Now, when you pay, you're true. And, Willie Dixon always said, the blues is the roots, the rest is the fruit. So everything is kind of intertwined with the blues.
Right.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I just was looking over something, and you'll probably be embarrassed I'm going to say this. The first Afro-American Eagle Scout in Bryan County, Georgia.
I was.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was actually, like I said, I'm the type of person that I'm very driven. I have to be doing something all the time. And that was instilled at an early age. And actually, it was a competition between me and another black kid. And we're all striving to see who could do it first. And I kind of just won out on it.
That's great. Now, did your parents raise you? Or you talk a lot about your grandparents, or did your grandparents raise you?
I was raised by my grandparents. Yeah. You know, my mother, Lord bless her, I love her to death. But is the worst cook on the planet. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to survive, I need to go with people that can cook. So I moved in with my grandparents about the age of 8.
Yeah.
And they're still living.
Wow.
And, yeah, in fact, I'm right up the street from them as we speak. And after this interview, I'm going to go up there and see them.
Well, just out of curiosity, what do they think about you being a musician? Grandparents, do they approve?
Oh, God, they love it. They love it. They absolutely love it. And my grandma is sort of a fixture in Richmond Hill, you know, and so everybody loves her. And so I was kind of obligated to do something to make the family proud, you know. And so now when she goes grocery shopping, people always ask about me and tell her how great the music is. And, you know, and she just puts a smile on her face, you know, and just to hear that. And they're very proud and they're very supportive.
Well, that's unusual. You know, that's unusual that because so many parents, they look at it and they go, you know, you really ought to do something where you can make some money, right?
Yeah, well, there was that. But I don't do it full time, you know, I don't do it like for a full time income. And you know, and not only that, you know, I'm pretty savvy with my money. So I do all right.
Okay, and you're not asking them for money all the time, so that's probably a big part of it too, right?
Yeah, this is true. This is true. In fact, the air conditioning unit just went out, and I'll be probably buying that. Well, so there's that.
Well, that's a pretty bad time for it to go out, but that's when they always go out, right?
Right, right. You know, always in the summer, you know, it's like, good Lord, like, could you pick a worse time?
Yep, it is. But you'll be leaving town, so it won't be too bad. Coming up here, right? Yeah, okay.
I'll be getting that done here soon.
Yeah, the other thing that I was interested in was the fact that you are pretty much self-taught on your guitar.
Yes. I don't, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it the way that I want to do it, and I don't want anybody saying, you know, this is wrong, you know, you have to do it like this, you know. And as a result, I don't play in the traditional, you know, sense of that guitar players do. I make some weird chords, you know, chords that sound right, but, you know, guitar players are like, well, what is that? You know, and, you know, my drummer, he's classically trained. He's got his bachelor's from Berklee School of Music and his master's from New England Conservatory. So, you know, if I ever get in a rut, I can always just ask my drummer.
That's pretty interesting. But, you know, I talked to somebody, I think it was yesterday, one of the guys I was talking to, he said, yeah, for about 10 years, he did just 3 chords. And he goes, it's amazing how much you can do with 3 chords, but he's now branched out. So I thought, wow. And then I read that you were self-taught. So I was like, I better ask about this this part of it to Brett.
Oh, yeah, funny you should say that, because the very first song I learned how to play,
yes,
wasn't a blues song at all. It was Eric Clapton's Layla, you know, the 1970s Layla, you know, yeah. And I did all the guitar parts, and that was the very first song I learned how to play.
Wow, that's pretty pretty good.
Yeah, I came out strong. I'm like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Well, what's the future hold for you, Brett Bernard Hitman? What's the future for you?
Well, hopefully retirement.
Oh, no, you're a musician. You never get to retire. No, no, no. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're, like I said, we're working on this album, collaborating with some people, some well-known people. And, you know, they've been hounding me for years and years and years. And I've never had the time to actually just sit down and put some stuff together until now. And so I'm writing these songs, and you know, we've got some other gigs on. We got Charleston tomorrow, and you know, and then I've got two gigs on Friday, and then up there with you guys on Saturday. And so during the time of all that writing, I'm going to be doing some writing, you know, and looking into myself for inspiration and you know, maybe some funny stories about the people that are around me, you know. And so all in all, I'm hoping to make a good album, and not exactly for to sell it, but just to say that I did it. And so we'll see. You know, yeah, it's the sky's the limit right now.
Probably in your community, they're all saying, write a song about me.
Yeah. they're here. They're like, just write an album, period. Just like, get it done already. And I'm like, you know, my kids are grown now. I've got two wonderful boys, and they're all grown and gone, and so I really have no excuse now.
Well, I just want to ask you one thing. You know, I'm just getting a vibe here. How much sleep do you require every day, Brett?
I get on average about 5 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. I sneak in a nap every now and then, you know. So we'll factor that in.
Right. Yeah, I kind of got that.
After I see my grandparents, I'll take one in a minute.
Yeah. Well, listen. This has been terrific talking to you. And let's see. Again, you are going to be up here on Saturday evening at the Inn on the Square. It's going to be a great night up there with Hitman. And I know you're going to bring a whole lot of energy, and people are going to love seeing you. So we sure appreciate you calling in this afternoon and sharing some of that energy.
Well, thank you very much, and I can't wait to get there. And hopefully you'll be there, too.
Well, I'll come on down since you tried to hit on me, Hitman.
And believe you me, I will.
Oh, Lord, he said it right here on the air, folks, in front of 5,000 listening people. Hitman, you have a good one. Be safe out there.
Thank you very much. Take care, darling.
All right, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, that was Hitman. That was Brett Bernard, and we were having a good time here on the radio. He is going to be Saturday evening at the Inn on the Square from 8 to 11. He is down there in the Savannah area, lives in Richmond Hill, and grew up there, and just has done an amazing job of learning and being able to do. So, congratulations to him. We'll look forward to seeing him Saturday night. One appearance only, 8 to 11 on Saturday night. Hey, let's hear the, what are we going to hear? Oh, the news. Let's hear the news, and we'll be back with our next guest. Don't you go away. The antique vintager has arrived in Greenwood. He's been in Greenwood, but he's been incognito. Now unveiled for the very first time, the antique vintager, the one and only Jeff Eller, is debuting on the national stage with his podcast. Shouldn't you be one of the first to come in and see him and see what you have with What's It Worth? Can you sell it? Do you want to sell it? And should you sell it? Only the antique vintager can tell you such things. So come and see us at 637 Durst Avenue East. Call first for your appointment, 864-229-6613. The antique vintager, Jeff Eller, is in the building. Oh, that's right. We're right back here. My next guest, I have an interesting quote that I found that I'm not sure it describes him or not, but I'm going to read it. It says, Tom Gray and Mark Johnson are the rusty, banged-up Cadillacs of the slide guitar, side by side, coughing up smoke and spitting backwards dirt. but unswerving in their precision and singular style. Tom Gray, does that describe you? Whoops.
Sometimes we're Cadillacs and sometimes we're Lincolns, you know.
Well, I mean, I thought that was the most interesting quote I've seen of any artist. You know, banged up Cadillacs.
Well, thank you.
You can almost see it. I mean, you know, you've seen those type of Cadillacs, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that quote too.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Well, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Ann?
I'm good. I've got lots of music and lots of people and excited about everybody coming here to town. And Friday night, I'm going to be doing a blues crawl all over Uptown Greenwood from about 7 to 9. And I just happened to be looking at the schedule, and I see that you are going to be playing on the main stage Friday night, 7 to 8:15. Correct.
Right, so I hope we see you there.
Yeah,
right?
We'll come by and hopefully be able to have a word with you and just do a little more promotion. That would be awesome. But
yeah, I hope so. You know, one thing, this is a little off topic, but I just wanted to tell you, my mother was an Eller from North Carolina.
Really?
And your name is Ann Eller, and so maybe we're somehow related at any rate.
Oh, Lord. What is it, North Wilkesboro?
Not far from Ashe County, more like toward West Jefferson.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, we're probably...
But not far at all from North Wilkesboro, no.
Yeah, that's not that very far at all. We're probably related. A lot of my husband's family came from that area. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I was reading about how you guys ended up getting together. That's kind of an interesting story, how you and your partner in crime, Mark Johnson, that you met in an Atlanta music store. Why don't you tell us that story? That's pretty cool.
Well, I tried to sell him a dobro. The guy who owned the store was an old friend of mine. I'd known him since ninth grade, and Mark had become a regular at the store. He even had his own seat at the end of the counter. He'd come and spend his lunches there. But I met him there, and I had a dobro I was trying to sell, and he came out to the van to look at it, and this girl that was with him, not his wife now, this girl didn't work out, he's over here, she's going, let's get out of here, I don't trust this guy. So anyway, Mark didn't buy the dobro, but we exchanged phone numbers, and we started getting together to play pretty regularly. And then after a while, we were just playing slide guitar. And no bands really have two slide guitarists. There are not very many bands. So we finally decided to go out and try it, and it worked. So that was the start of the band.
How long ago was that?
That was way long ago now. That was in the 1990s, I think.
1990s. Yeah, you've been doing this a really good while.
Well, I've been a musician ever since I was in high school, which is a long time ago.
It's amazing how time creeps up on you, isn't it? All of a sudden, you look at yourself in the mirror one day, and you go, God, what happened?
I know. What happened, indeed. So, and it doesn't stop, either. You think, okay, now I'm here. It's good. No, it doesn't stop there.
Yeah, I used to like a song. It was a song, I Don't Look Good Naked Anymore. I went to the doctor and asked him what was wrong, and he just kind of looked at me, and he goes, you don't look good naked anymore. Now I understand what they're talking about. Lord. Anyways, back to you, and what, how did you get involved in music to begin with? What started you down this road, or did you have an interest in something else and then ended up just by accident, a fluke with music?
No, I think, going way back, it was in a fellowship hall at the church. I was maybe, 12 years old?
Yeah.
And there was this guy named Paul who was playing the piano, and he was just doing, like, nothing fancy, Heart and Soul or something like that. And but all the girls were, like, walking around, leaning on the piano, and I said, this looks pretty good. I ought to get in on this somehow. So, that's
so it was for the girls, right?
Well, of course. But no, not really. I love music, too. And once I got in on it, I just said, I love this. So I've been doing it ever since.
Now, if I remember correctly from reading over some stuff, I think you actually had a, were you in a rock and roll band? You've changed genres over the years?
Yeah, I've been in many, many bands over the years. The Delta Moon's been probably at least the last 20.
Right.
But back in the 1980s, I had a rock and roll band called The Brains. We did a couple albums on Mercury and one on the Landslide label, and then one of my songs got picked up by Cyndi Lauper and was a hit for her. That was Money Changes Everything. So that worked out pretty well, and I started writing and traveling in New York, Nashville, L.A., and writing with different people, and got to meet a lot of wonderful, wonderful artists, and just had a great time until the 1990s when I had a son, and once I became a father, I decided to pull back close to home for a while and stay at home and change diapers for a while and push the stroller. And but that's when I started playing with Mark, because he lived right around the corner, about two blocks from me, and we started getting together and just playing in the living room, and then it went on from there and became Delta Moon. About the time my son was in, I guess, about the second grade, I said, well, I think he's going to be all right. I can start traveling again. That's when Delta Moon hit the road.
That's great. You know, what would you have to tell somebody that really wanted, because it looks to me like you've been pretty big, you've pulled back, and looks like you guys are going for it again. What would you tell somebody that wanted to do something big in music? In today's world, I think it's really tough in today's world,
because it's a different world today from what it was last year. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, back then it was vinyl records, and then of course CDs, and then downloads, and now downloads are a thing of the past, and everybody's streaming. And what it's going to be next year, I have no clue. But I would say just go ahead and do the best you can. That's my advice. If you love it, do it. And there's no point in doing it if you're not going to be the best you can.
Right. Well, I know so many people want to get into music in a big way, and it's tough to get some traction, shall we say, out there with so many. The internet has just made it almost too competitive.
Yes, well, yes, but then a lot, and now you can communicate through the internet. You can communicate directly with your fans, yes, instead of going through all these gatekeepers or whatever it used to be, like record labels and magazines and all that. Now it's just kind of, you skip over that and you can just be connected directly with the fans, and that's pretty cool. On the other hand, music itself is no longer an artifact that you can sell, like you could sell a record or a CD. I mean, sell it some, but by and large, music has become free, and so you're trying to make a living making something that nobody wants to pay for. So that makes it tough.
So how do you make money at this?
Well, songwriting's still been my best thing, and then for the rest of it, I'm still working it out.
That's great. That is really great. Now, when you write a song, do you just look around and get inspiration from the world around you?
That's what I try to do. Yes, sometimes it comes from inside. Sometimes it comes from something I hear somebody say. Sometimes something I see. Sometimes I'll just be driving along or walking along and something will bubble up inside of me. Sometimes I just sit down and scribble on a piece of paper until I start to make some words, and then I start to stop and read what the words said. Maybe I got something there. So,
That's
I'm not
cool.
kidding. I've actually done that.
Yeah, well, being on the radio and everything, we're always coming up with kind of funky stuff and stuff that just kind of happens. And when I come up with something, it's just like all of a sudden. It's not a long process. It's either I got it or I don't got it, one of the two.
Yeah, right. I understand that. But then a lot of times, you know, you can work on it and hone it and make it, sharpen it up a little bit, too.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
An idea might come in a crude form to start with, and you can think about it and turn it over and make it into something.
Yeah, Exactly. I like to take songs and put my own words to it. That's what I like to do. And you know,
oh, that's great.
Yeah. Well, sometimes my fans on the radio, they tell me I should just give up the singing part of my life and just talk.
Well, you can still write them down. You don't have to. I don't know what you sound like. I'm not going to be upset to that. I was always the one who sang in the bands because I wrote the song, so I was the only one who knew the words. That was about my only qualification to be a singer. I'm just now starting to work on it a little harder.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Hey, you are, let's see, you won the Tom Gray 2008 Blues Songwriter of the Year Award from the American Roots Music Association. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was very cool. So congratulations on that. And let's see, I wanted to ask you, we wanted to play one of your songs, and I took the liberty of picking it out, Rock and Roll Girl.
Okay,
all
that's
right.
A good one.
Yeah, what can you tell us about that one?
Well, we were talking about my mother on the farm early. She's in the first line of that. Mom and Dad were both born on the farm. That's kind of where that song started from. I was just thinking I was the first generation of my family not born on the farm.
Yeah.
I was born in the city. And so it's good. And I'm sure there are a lot of other people like that or who can relate to that within a generation or two. And that was kind of the start of the song. And I just kind of put one line after another after that.
Well, that's very cool. I like that very much. Hey, I tell you what, you are going to be, let's see, where are you going to be? And then I'm going to let you go and I'm going to play the song. What did we have here? I think I'm running behind, as I always am. Let's see, where
I'm sorry if I talked long.
Let's see, where are you playing Delta Moon? Saturday, 9 to midnight at T.W. Boone's.
Right,
and
that's right.
Are you playing another time?
Well, the main stage, yes. Friday at 7 to 8 something,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
8:15 or something like that.
7:15 to 8:30, so yeah. Friday. Where did I have you? Delta Moon, 7.
Friday we're in the main stage at 7, and then Saturday we're at T.W. Boone starting at 9.
Well, you got two great venues there. Hopefully I'll get to meet you Friday night. How about that?
That sounds really good. I'd love to meet you.
All right. Thanks so much for calling us, Tom Gray, and we look forward to having you here, and be safe driving up here.
All right. Thank you, Ann. We're looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and play Rock and Roll Girl by the Delta Moon people, Tom Gray and his partner. Play it, Andy.
I it straight. And the simple lie will only complicate. I don't always know the right thing to say, but I got a guitar and I know how to play. So I joined a rock and roll band, seen the world through a haze of one night stands. And you, my rock and roll girl, you're the only thing I've done right in this rack. Done right in this ragged round world.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood today.
Oh, that's right. Am I on now, Andy? I think we're on. Yes, we're on. Okay. I am right here, and boy, I tell you what, the guest roster we have this afternoon is just awesome. We have Susie Vinnick from Canada. She's a singer, a songwriter, a bassist, a guitarist, and she has a lot of vocal talents. She's won a recipient of 10 Maple Blues Awards, internationally recognized for her songwriting. It is my great pleasure to introduce Susie Vinnick to you. How you doing today, Susie?
I'm great, Ann. Thanks so much. They're sure keeping you hopping, eh?
Yeah, they sure are. I tell you what, we pack them in here so that everybody gets to hear as many as the artists as we can, and it's hard because we got so many great artists. But wow, when are you getting ready to come down here?
I'm in Chapel Hill, North Carolina right now, and I'll be making my way tomorrow morning.
Wow. Okay. So you are coming down here, and you are the, aren't you the main Thursday evening, 6 to 7? You open up the whole show.
Apparently I do. I just saw that today that I start things off, so I'm really excited about that.
So how did you end up in the music world?
I started playing guitar and gravitating towards music when I was a little kid. Growing up, I'm from Western Canada originally, so Saskatchewan, the area where Joni Mitchell's from, I guess, if
okay.
That helps anybody. But I loved music and I took lessons and played in school band and then got turned on to the blues in my mid-teens started doing shows and have been doing them ever since.
Well, let's see. You started the guitar. You also played tenor sax. Is that right?
Yeah, I haven't really played it in a long time, but I played it in high school and elementary school, and a little bit in university. But then I kind of dug into bass guitar and singing and guitar. So those were my priorities.
Well, yeah, it's kind of hard to sing and play the saxophone.
Yeah. Yeah, some folks make it work, though. You just bounce between it, like Vanessa Collier. And
yeah, that's true.
There's another singer, and I can't remember her name, but she also plays saxophone, and I think Keys. I want to say Diana or something, but I can't remember her name for sure.
Yeah, but that's pretty awesome. So you've lived in Canada. How do you find, do you come to the United States a lot or a little, or I don't know?
I do a fair amount of touring. I I live up in the Niagara region of Canada, so I'm really close to Niagara Falls and Buffalo. So I find myself going to the Northwest a fair amount.
Maybe the Northeast? Yeah, so, the Northeast, maybe?
Niagara. Excuse me, that's what I meant to say. The Northeast.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah, that's me. I'm from Western Canada, that's where my head is. And so there you go. Yeah, so I play up the Northeast in New York State and Pennsylvania, Maryland.
That's great. That's great. So, and what's the best part of being a musician for you? What's the best part?
Well, I mean, I get to do something creative for a living, and it, I think generally makes people pretty happy, and that's satisfying, you know, to do something that makes me happy and makes others happy. So, I don't know, and I get to meet great people and see the world playing music. So it, and I'm not tied to a desk 9-to-5 kind of thing. So there's all sorts of benefits. There are challenges, too, but the benefits outweigh the challenges.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, I guess there's always, you've worked with a lot of different people. That must be kind of challenging from the standpoint of working with different groups.
You know, there's a number of projects I've worked with, and they've all kind of had, like, longevity. I've worked with this one guy named Rick Fine since 1993. I've played music on and off with another guy named Tony DiTeodoro, who's from Ottawa, Canada, and we've known each other since 1990. So there's, like, when you play together for a while, there's, you get to know each other musically and read signs and things like that, that makes it, that helps for sure. And the projects that I work in are all a little different musically, so the music will be a bit more specific to the project. So it's all good, and it keeps things interesting.
Sure, absolutely. I think it's great, but I was just thinking about, you know, personalities and working with other people, and it has to be a little bit challenging, at least at first.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, they're definitely, you know, I mean, you get to know each other, and you get to know people's idiosyncrasies, and some of the projects we don't work, like, I do mostly solo work now, mm-hmm. which might actually reflect, well, I don't know, it's it's a little more feasible, and so I do mostly solo work. So I find that when I do end up working with the other projects that I do, it just makes it a little more special. Yeah. And fresher.
Yeah, I was looking over your bio here. It says your songs are featured in ads for Shoppers Drug Mart, Tetley Tea, Jack in the Box, and Tim Hortons. I mean, I'm telling you what, this is variety, girlfriend.
Yeah, Tim Hortons. I've sung jingles for all of those companies. I haven't written the music, but I've sung them. And Tim Hortons is a coffee company up in Canada. It's like Dunkin' Donuts down here. And I sang their commercials for 5 years, which is really fun.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. What's on the future for Susie Vinnick? We are listening WCRS right here in Greenwood. What's the future hold?
Well, I've got a hopping summer of festivals. After I'm done in South Carolina, I'll head back up to Canada, and the rest of my work this summer is in Canada, but I'll be performing in Ontario primarily, and then this fall will bring me back down to the States to a few places, I'd like to start working on a new album and just planning for future work down the road and trying to get some work happening. So,
well, that's good. I didn't know, because looks like you have a great life going on, and we are certainly looking forward to seeing you and seeing you open up the whole show here. And then what are you doing? Where else do you play? I know you play a couple of times, don't you? Thursday?
I'm playing 4 times. I play Thursday from 6 to 7 at the 10th stage, and I'm opening for The Good, The Bad, and The Blues, it's called. And then Friday I have two shows. I'm doing a double bill with the Blues Doctors, which features Adam Gusso. I guess their project is called Satan and Adam. And then Friday night from 8 to 10, I'm Flynn's on Maxwell. And then Saturday's my last show, and I'll be at Montague's from 8 to 11. So all my shows will be solo. But I'm really excited. This is my first time performing in South Carolina, and it's great. North Carolina has been, when Gary invited me to come down, he says, you know how hot it's going to be? I said, I'll be fine. It doesn't get this hot in Canada, but North Carolina has been training me to get ready for, because it's been pretty tough to be here too, so
yeah,
been great. And I'm very excited to come be part of the festival, and I'm honored to be kicking it off. That's great.
Absolutely. You are going to be the center stage, and you had a nice write-up in the Index Journal here, and so I think that's you are going to be very well received, and everybody is looking forward to seeing you, and hopefully maybe Friday night. Let's see, where are you at Friday night? Are you playing Friday night?
So Friday is at the Arts Center of Greenwood from 6 to 6:45.
Okay.
And that's the double bill with the Blues Doctors. And then 8 to 10, you can come have a drink at Flynn's on Maxwell.
Well,
I think that's a wine bar, if I'm
it's
mistaken.
A very cool venue. You love it. And we're going to be out doing a blues crawl all over Uptown Greenwood, so we'll be sure to stop in and see you.
Awesome, Ann. Thank you so much.
That's right. Leaning to the Light. What can you tell us about that song there, Susie? What can you tell us about that one?
I wrote that song with a buddy of mine, David Leaf, who's originally from Scotland, actually, and he's been based in Canada for over 20 years, and he's an old friend, and we've written a bunch of tunes together, and it's a song, I guess, about being positive.
That's why I think
being positive.
We gotta be positive. Susie Venick, so nice to talk to you. Look forward to seeing down here at the Blues Cruise and Festival of Discovery, and be safe in your travels. Thanks so much for calling
us. Awesome. Thanks for having me, Ann.
All right. You have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Andy, take it away.
The South Carolina Education Lottery offers all kinds of games, and we do mean games. After all, it's no game when it comes time to pay your power bill, your rent, or your mortgage. Remember, lottery games are played for fun, and they're never more important than family, friends, or work. So if playing stops being fun, make a free anonymous call to 877-452-5155 or visit playresponsiblysc.com. Must be 18 or older to purchase.
Thank you.
Oh, that's right. Well, that turned down that music. Long Brown Hair by Kyle right here on the radio with us. Kyle Yardley, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing good. Hey, listen, you have mastered that harmonica pretty darn good.
Some people say I have. I'm kind of critical on myself. I don't consider myself a harmonica player. I'm a blues man.
A blues man who just happens to play the harmonica, right?
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you are from St. Louis, huh?
Yeah, the Illinois side. Carlisle, Illinois is where I grew up at. But, yeah, I performed in St. Louis for many years, and I currently reside in Savannah, Georgia.
Well, what made you decide to be a harp player, harmonica player?
Well, you want the long story or the short one?
We probably better go with kind of the shorter version.
All right. Well, I was divorced, living in my brother's spare bedroom, and I have a younger brother who had some harmonicas, and asked me if I wanted to try them out, so I did, and it just took off from there. That's the short story of it.
So you're relatively, so how long have you been playing the harmonicas then?
That was about 2008, I believe.
So relatively.
Not old.
Okay. Well, that's pretty neat. What made you decide to go into music per se?
Well, I've been playing, I'm playing drums since I was 9 years old. Ah. My older brother, he played guitar and, bass and drums. When we was growing up, we'd sit in the bedroom and play the guitar, and I'd get on the drums and mess around, and I got pretty good at that, so I started playing drums.
Well, that's
So I'm a drummer by birth, harmonica player second.
Can you play the drums and the harmonica at the same time?
No, I can't. Everybody asks me that. I've tried that. I had the little the harmonica rack you put around your neck, and I can't do it.
Well, how did you end up in Savannah then? What was the pull to bring you to Savannah?
My mom and my brother live down here. They're not from here originally, but my brother went to SCAD.
Right.
In Savannah, and he graduated there and never came back. And then we'd always come down every spring and fall, pick him up. And we always talked about moving down here. And then my mom actually did in 2001. And then, it just seemed like a new experience. So I come down here, try it out.
Yeah, so how do you like it?
I love it.
You love it?
The weather suits my clothes, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I was just reading over your little bit of a bio I've got here, and you were the 2017 and 2018 overall champion of the Greater Southeastern Harmonica Championships held in the historic Bradford Blues Club in Tallahassee, Florida. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's correct. That was a by chance thing. A buddy of mine had sent me a link to it. He'd seen it on Facebook, and I thought, first I was like, I'm not going to go there, But a lot of my friends from St. Louis were like, you need to go just to check out the Bradfordville Blues Club. It's a historic blues juke joint. You need to just go check it out. So I went there and ended up winning the overall championship, and I went back the next year and did it again.
Well, that's great. So who are you bringing with you when you come up here?
I got some players that live down here in Savannah, but they're from everywhere. The guitar player, he's originally a New Orleans guy. His name's Stuart Kinzel. And my bass player, Mike Duncan, he lived in Atlanta for about 20 years and played with a lot of people up there. Frankie Lee Robinson, his band, Frankie's Blues Mission. And then I got a young guy down here, Dominique Harris. He just moved down here from North Carolina. He's going to be playing drums with me.
That's great. Well, let's see. Are you coming for just one performance here? Because it looks like it's a good one. Howard's on Main Saturday night, 9 to midnight. You are going to be tearing it up on the actual final night, even though the next day we do have some blues for brunch on Sunday. But other than that, that's the big show Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday night at Howard's on Main, 9 to midnight. We're going to throw it down raw and unrehearsed, just like I always do it.
Well, that sounds great. That sounds great. So, listen, I appreciate you calling in. We are running just a minute or two behind, so I'm going to have to let you go. We played your song at the beginning, Long Brown Hair. You also have CDs and... You've been, let's see, Kyle's Music from Juke Joint Boogie and more to come. What's your favorite style of music? One last question.
Could you repeat that again?
What's your favorite style of music when you're playing the blues? What's your favorite style?
Chicago blues. The Little Walter, Sonny Boy Williams, and that kind of stuff.
That's good stuff. Absolutely. That's great stuff. Well, listen, I appreciate you calling us. We'll look forward to seeing you Saturday night at Howard's on Main from 9 to midnight. Come tear it up in Greenwood. Be safe getting here.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. The antique vintager has arrived at 637 Durst Avenue East in Greenwood, South Carolina. How can you reach such a wizard? Just by calling 864-229-6613. Make your appointment today at The Antique Vintager. And don't forget to check out his new website, The Antique Vintager Emporium. Simply amazing! All right, Andy, and now we have another guest. Is he with us, Andy? Do we have Peter Karp? Where's Peter? Is he here?
Peter's here.
Hey, Peter, how you doing today?
Hey, Andy, how you doing?
I'm good. We talked last year. I think you had to stop and get under an apple tree or something, wasn't it, last year?
Yeah, I'm still under that same apple tree. I'm down here in, where are we? We're in West Virginia. We're driving down. I just flew in from Italy yesterday to come down to Greenwood and play down there.
Well, that's a huge honor. You left Italy to come over here. I'm impressed.
I did. I was doing some touring over there, and then I come back here and touring for about 10 days, and then I go back to Europe until the end of October. So, but I wouldn't miss this Greenwood. This is my second year. I think it's second year or third year. Second. I'm with my band right now. We're in the car. I'm talking to them, too. So this is second year. I had such a great time last year. I told Gary I can't wait to come back. So he's booked me for a couple nights this year.
That is terrific. So as you're driving down here, how was Italy?
Oh, Italy is 1,000 years ahead of us. You know, they already conquered the world, so they're not trying to do that. You know, everything is food, romance, architecture, and food, and wine, and food. So, you know, it's the greatest place to play. I play mostly original songs. I'm a songwriter who likes to play some blues guitar, and they love me over there, and I love them. So I'm very happy when I go over there.
Well, that's great. How about the language? Is there any issue with language?
See? There is an issue, yes. I can say see, I can say come stai, I can say uno, due, tre, quattro, I count songs off, uno, due, tre, quattro. So, but that's about it.
Well, that's great. Now, and I understand there is a little bit of difference in the, I mean, I don't know about Italian audiences. I know English audiences, usually German audiences like to really listen to what's being sung and everything. Do you find that the same way in Italy, or are they more drinking and eating?
No, they listen very carefully. The difference is that the Germans are a little more anal retentive when they start to listen to you. They they sit there and they put their head in their hands and they sort of, they watch you and they're not sure if they should open up to you. And then once you get to them, they act like children. They just go nuts, the Germans. The Italians will listen right away and immediately emotionally connect with you. They immediately will respond. If you've got something going on that on the emotional spectrum or meter, they will go crazy right away. The Germans take a little coaxing. Like it, the Germans, you have to say, it's okay, let go, have fun. You know?
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, I understand that. So, and do you tour? Do you do any in Spain or any or Switzerland? Do you go any of those places? Or
yes, Switzerland, France, Italy, Germany, the Netherlands, Czech Republic, everywhere, Poland. I like to play here a lot, and then I like to play over there a lot. The difference is, I think, is that over there they sort of, you know, they really, American music to them is just, you know, very, very special. And over here we have so much of it that, you know, I think people take it for granted sometimes, that's all.
I think they do too, yeah. I mean, and we have so much music. Do you think, because you've been performing for a while, what do you think has been the effect of with the internet on your music?
Well, I think for me, the internet has been fantastic. On the one hand, it hasn't been good because record deals, I used to get record deals that paid me money. Okay, but now record labels don't want to give you any money because really they're almost unnecessary at this point, record labels. You know, unless there's some reason to sign with one, I wouldn't sign with one now because you can do what they can do. That's the good thing. The internet can get you in. If you have an audience,
right.
Like I have an audience, and I speak to my audience just about every day. I give them something, you know, and we have a dialogue every day. So in that way, the internet is fantastic. You can find new music. It's everything is wide open. The downside is you have to do everything now. And it used to be the record label would do your publicity. The record label would do this and that. But now I have artistic freedom. I can do whatever I want to do. If my fans like it, they buy it. If they don't like it, then I know they don't like it. You know? So it's okay.
Well, that sounds great. I was just reading over something in your bio here. Considered one of the finest contemporary Americana and blues artists, singer, songwriter, guitarist, and pianist, Peter Karp has carved out his own unique niche. Raised both in the swamps of New Jersey and the rural trailer parks in southern Alabama, Karp masterfully crafts music fueled with a Yankee rebel juxtaposition by infusing genuine emotion, humor, and candor. Who wrote that?
Wow, I don't know, but they should be poet laureate. You know?
I know.
Those are some words right there.
I know.
Juxtaposition.
Yeah.
I think some of that was written by a very ambitious journalist. And but it's true. I was raised in both places, and I do have a snarky Jersey sense of humor with a redneck Renaissance redneck trailer park Alabama trailer park kind of a sense of storytelling.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what the blues is all about, telling stories, right?
It is. I think blues music. You know, I'm a songwriter, and I think blues to me, I'm not so much of a purist, you know. I mean, I play on occasion something from the old days. But what I love about blues music is it's to me, it's the language of the common person, you know.
Yep.
And you know, that's what I think. I try to tell stories from my own experiences and things. And using, you know, just doing that, it just comes natural. I don't know exactly why, you know.
Well, you know, that's probably experience, right? That gives you part of that. And, of course, you've had some experiences that probably have been pretty tough, like your wife dying. That was probably pretty tough. That probably influenced a lot of what you do, too.
It does. It's actually, I think when people ask me about that, I think it was the most, other than being the most tragic, it was the most profound, because I think it really put into perspective for me that, life is fleeting. And to quote Bill Murray, to quote the great Bill Murray, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. So I think if you look at it that way, you have a pretty good time every day.
Well, sometimes we all take ourselves too serious, that is for sure. And we get too wound up in what we're trying to do. I'm guilty of that today. My husband will tell you that.
Oh, yeah, we all are. We all are.
So, but anyways, you are coming to town. Let's see, you are going to be on the CenturyLink, you're going to be on the main stage 4 to 5:15. Is that your first performance, it looks like, to me? Am I right?
No, actually, Thursday night, I'm at the Mill House.
Ah, okay.
In Greenwood.
That's right. You are there from 8 to
11. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock,
yep.
Yes.
And that's
Friday night, we're on the main stage at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you're playing somewhere else, or those are the two, I guess.
That's it. And then I get in the car and we drive to New York State. It's great routing by my agent. It's basically a map and a dart. And that's how they route us these days. They just throw a dart and say, okay, today you're in Greenwood, tomorrow you're in Arizona.
And you keep the same people doing this for you year after year, huh?
I do because I have a band. I have a fantastic band that's been with me for 15 years. They're from New Jersey. And, we don't practice ever. We just get together and play, because at this point, they know all my tricks. And I have a great agent and manager. She's been with me forever. And, when you have good people and you have a family, you don't get rid of them,
right?
Unless there's certain problems with that family. In my real family, I have more problems than I do with my band, I guess.
I understand that. I understand that very, very well. Well, listen,
yeah.
We are so thrilled that we got to talk to you again. We're so thrilled that you are coming back here again. You know. Is that a good one?
Oh, you know.
You know.
Yeah, that's
you
good.
Know.
That's me and Kim Wilson. There's a great harmonica player named Kim Wilson. He's was in the Fabulous Thunderbirds. And we just knocked that out one night pretty quick.
Well, it's a good one. We're looking forward to hearing it. Hopefully this year I'll be able to meet you. Maybe we'll see you maybe Thursday night. If not, hopefully Friday night. We're doing a blues crawl all over Uptown Greenwood. So maybe we'll get to see you on the main stage. And if not, are you, so Friday, you're leaving out after your show on Friday. Is that right?
I am like Chuck Berry, I'm leaving the stage and jumping into a truck, a bus, and heading to upstate New York, pretty much. But I hope to meet you too, because I remember our conversation from last year too, and you sound like a really vivacious and colorful person.
Well, thank you very much, Peter. I look forward to meeting you too. We're going to play your song, Be Safe, and get down here, and hopefully we'll get to meet. This is what it's all about, putting the music out there for everybody to enjoy, and so glad that you got to come back again this year. You have a safe
Amen
trip.
To that.
Thank
That's
you
right.
very much. We're going to play You Know by Peter Carr.
Okay, you know. Okay.
Bye-bye.
walking with your high heels on. Yes, I see you walking, babe. I see you walking with your high heels on. Well, when you walk, woman, you make me want to weep and moan. Well, you look so good, little girl. Look so good with your long brown hair. I said you look so good, baby. You look so good with your long brown hair. No matter where you go, all the men, they just stop and stare. Go, little girl. All the fellas, they just stopping.